All right, we spend our whole show in the darkest corners of humanity, right? So let's talk about how you come back down after that. It's Mood at Mood.com. Federally legal, hemp-derived THC shipped discreetly right to your door. I'm talking no dispensary, no fluorescent lighting, and no awkward small talk. They've got gummies, flowers, edibles, and pre-rolls all sorted by the vibe that you're actually after, whether that's sleep, focus, a little euphoria, or let's just call it better evenings. The one people keep reaching for is the Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies, their best seller, for when your brain finally needs to stop replaying the timeline and just let you rest. You just head to mood.com, shop by mood, and pick your lane. Everything is backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, and first-time buyers get 20% off the entire order with code STS. That's mood.com. Code STS. Listen, you survived the episode, you might as well sleep like it. You know those true crime cases that stick with you long after you've heard them? The ones where you can't stop thinking, how did someone survive that? That's exactly why I couldn't put down Grey After Dark by Noelle W.I. Lee, a thriller inspired by a real crime, the 1984 abduction of Olympic biathlete Carrie Swenson, who was kidnapped and left stranded in the wilderness. Noelle takes that terrifying real-life premise and transforms it into one of the most intense survival thrillers I've read in a long time. The story follows Miley, an injured Olympic hopeful who's spending the summer training in Idaho's remote wilderness when she's abducted during a morning run. Suddenly, she's trapped in an off-grid cabin, miles from help, forced to rely on her athletic training, instincts, and sheer determination to stay alive. What I loved is that this isn't just a thriller about escaping a captor, it's also a battle against the wilderness itself. The isolation feels incredibly real, and the tension just keeps building as Miley realizes that surviving one more day is far from guaranteed. If you're a fan of Freda McFadden, Karen Slaughter, John Mars, or true crime stories where ordinary people are forced into extraordinary circumstances, Grey After Dark absolutely deserves a spot on your list.
Tonight, an STS exclusive, Brian Hooker's own stepmother is speaking out on surviving the survivor, and what she has to say might surprise you, it might not surprise you, but one thing's for sure, she's got a definite opinion about whether or not Brian Hooker was involved in the death of Lynette Hooker, his wife.
Welcome to the global phenomenon, Surviving the Survivor, where we bring you the best guests in all of true crime. Here's your host, Emmy Award-winning journalist, Joel Waldman.
What's up, STS Nation? Welcome to Surviving Survivor. This is the global phenomenon, bringing you the very best guests in all of true crime. We're not coming to you from global headquarters yet, but we are high atop an undisclosed location somewhere in Miami Beach and far below Walter Cronkite, who sits top me, making sure that my journalistic chops are cranking. It was back on April 4th that Lynette Hooker disappeared while on a sailing trip with husband Brian Hooker. His story was she fell off the dinghy in bad weather. He went in one direction. She went in the other direction. Took him 8 or 9 hours to get back to shore. He doesn't know what happened to her. No one has ever seen or heard from Lynette Hooker since that fateful day back on April 4th. And then you fast forward several months, and Coast Guard Investigative Services, they say, not so fast. They are saying that Lynette Hooker, through the family, they're saying she made it back to Soulmate, which is the sailing boat that they were on in the Bahamas, and that foul play occurred on Soulmate. So the Coast Guard, in contrary to what Brian Hooker's own story was, and of course, Brian Hooker at the time saying, hey, I'm going to stay here. There's a shot of the Soulmate. And some people think that this is a video still shot, and the video itself is what ultimately led to the seizure of Soulmate and then ultimately the seizure of the dinghy as well, which brings us to tonight's show and a very special guest. And without further ado, here is Brian Hooker's stepmother, Donna Hooker. And Donna, welcome to the show. First and foremost, just want to send our condolences from our community of 227,000 people to you on the loss of Brian's father, George Hooker, who was your husband. I believe you said you were married in 1985. Correct me if I'm wrong about that.
Yes, it's 40 years of marriage, actually 41.
And, you know, I'm really sorry to hear he passed about 7 months ago. You said he had a series of strokes. So how are you holding up?
I'm trying to hold up with everything else that's going on. It's a really it's hard because I'm still in the grieving process, but I'm trying to get better. But it's going to take me a while because, you know, I really love this guy. You know, he is my soulmate, you know.
Wow. Amazing way to put it. And 40 years of marriage. My mother was married to my dad for 63 years, and I know how hard it was for her. But not only are you dealing with the loss of George Hooker, who again is Brian Bruce Hooker and Jen's father, but now you're dealing with this story that happened on April 4th. How did you get wind? How did you get wind first that something had happened to Lynette? How did you first hear about this?
George's sister called me on the phone. She lives in Texas. And she said, did you hear about Brian? And I go, no. What happened? She goes, turn to Fox News. It's all over the place. I go, oh, my God. Okay. So she explained a little bit of it to me. And so I started watching the news, and here it is. It's all over. I mean, I have one of those great big TVs, and there they are right there. I kind of lost it. And I'm thinking, what has he done? I texted his sister, Jennifer. She did not get back to me. I texted her and asked her what happened, because she flew to the Bahamas to meet him after he got out of jail. They let him out. And she met him there. And I guess her husband was with her, but he didn't like to be in the, you know, the limelight or anything. But and Jennifer doesn't either. She hasn't probably talked to anybody. I don't, not even me. And I have texted her several times, and I'm really upset about it. Mm-hmm. And I just want to know what's going on. I'm upset. Knowing Brian the way I do, he lied. He lied about everything. He lied. Totally lied about her falling off of that dinghy. Lynette's daughter, Carly, same thing. She knows. She knows her mom very well because Lynette was an athlete, and there's no way in 3 feet of water that she would be separated from Brian, and Brian would float in his dinghy the wrong way. He went the wrong way. It went the wrong way. It doesn't make sense. Where would she go? What happened to her in 3 feet of water? That doesn't make sense.
Donna, let me hop in for a second. Again, I know you're dealing with the weight of so much, and STS is a very caring community. So if you need anything from us, this is not the new studio. Our rockin', we're working on it, but that is Walter Cronkite above my head. We were away in Canada last week, and I got an email from you, and it was literally one line. It just said, Brian is lying about everything. What compelled you to write that email to me? It was obviously succinct and to the point. What makes you believe that Brian is lying?
Brian has always been a sneaky person, and not an honest person. And being that I was married to his dad and we had Brian living with us for a long time, due to the fact that he abused and his first wife and his second wife, and Lynette, when Carly was talking about him choking her mom and putting bruises on her and hitting her and pushing her and
I'm sorry, Donna, but I just want to get a little context. So Brian was married twice prior to Lynette. So Lynette is his third marriage. And yes. And then he was arrested at one point and I think released for a situation where he was caught strangling one of his children. Was that from a previous marriage?
His first marriage to Debbie.
And so his first marriage is to Debbie, and he has how many children?
I have a picture right here. This is Brian, Debbie, and his kid.
Wow. Thank you. The COE is going to, we have a bunch of photos. The COE will put those into Patreon when we're done. That's a little bit better there. That's Lynette. What is in it? Who's in this photo here, Donna?
Okay, Lynette and Carly and Rosie.
Okay. And is Rosie the daughter that he was accused of assaulting?
No. It was Jessica from the first marriage.
Okay, so Jessica from the first marriage, then there's a second marriage, and that had something to do with him being an atheist, a self-declared atheist, and the daughter was a believer, correct?
Her mother, his first wife, Debbie, and their kids were all, you know, together with the Christian belief and everything, and Brian wasn't. And so that's why he was visiting, and I guess they talked about, their religion and everything, and he got really upset. And so she took off out of the room, and he followed that they were in and choked her.
Wow. So okay, let's
a horrible temper. He's got a horrible temper.
Donna, go ahead. Tell me, first of all, I just want to just let everyone know. So you were married to Brian's father, George, who is, according to you, an amazing human being, and he just passed away 7 months ago. Since he has passed away, you have not heard from either Brian Hooker or his brother, Bruce. How upset are you that you didn't hear from him? This is his own biological father who passed, and you have yet to hear from him about any condolences, asking about the passing of his father. Do you even know? Does he know that his own father has passed?
When George passed away, I talked to Jennifer. I told Jennifer because that's the only way I could ever get in touch with Brian or Bruce is through Jennifer. So she said, I will let him know. Don't worry about it. I'll let him know. And I said, okay. And since then, I haven't heard a word, not one word. From either one of them about their dad. And Jennifer, the only thing I heard from her about her dad was she was sorry. Now, does that make sense? She was his little baby, his daughter, and this is how they're acting. I don't understand it.
That has to be incredibly upsetting. Let's go just back in time to, the young Hooker family here with George as the father, Brian, Bruce, Jen. What was the relationship like? Tell us who we're looking at here, first of all.
Okay. It's kind of a horrible picture, but Brian's on, you can see Brian, right? Mm-hmm. Right, long hair. His dad looks funny. He had it because and their dad.
And is that Jen?
And all, yeah, that's Jen.
Okay, so it's Brian and Jen and his sister and George.
Yep, Brian, Jen, and my George.
So tell me, what was the family dynamic years ago, you know, when they were younger, between Brian and Bruce and Jen and the dad and George, Big George?
All right. We spend our whole show in the darkest corners of humanity, right? So let's talk about how you come back down after that. It's Mood at Mood.com. Federally legal, hemp-derived THC shipped discreetly right to your door. I'm talking no dispensary, no fluorescent lighting, and no awkward small talk. They've got gummies, flowers, edibles, and pre-rolls, all sorted by the vibe that you're actually after. Whether that's sleep, focus, a little euphoria, or let's just call it better evenings. The one people keep reaching for is the Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies, their best seller. For when your brain finally needs to stop replaying the timeline and just let you rest. You just head to mood.com, shop by mood, and pick your lane. Everything is backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, and first-time buyers get 20% off the entire order with code STS. That's mood.com, code STS. Listen, you survived the episode, you might as well sleep like it.
Brian and Bruce and Jennifer were all fine. Everything, I mean, they visited us. We saw them. We had Christmases. Brian would come up with Debbie. And then when we moved to, that was in Placerville, California, because we built a home there. And then we moved to Oregon. And then Brian and his second wife, Beth, and little Rosie, they came to visit. So it was, you know, everything seemed to be okay when they were younger and their kids were little, you know. Bruce, I haven't seen for, my husband had a heart transplant in 2008. And since then, they were at the hospital at that particular time. And I haven't seen Bruce since. That's the last time I ever saw Bruce was at, and he never called us dad. We've always tried to get a hold of him. We never could get a hold of him. He never would call us back or anything. And don't know why that was. But Bruce is a little different himself. So, but everything seemed to be fine when they were younger.
And from Jimmy McNutty here in STS Nation, Donna, did you raise Brian and Bruce and Jen, or were they adults when you married in?
They were kids. I raised them. So
you
in,
raised them.
Jennifer was, no, I didn't. His mom was married. She married someone. She married again. And Bruce and Jennifer and Brian lived with her growing up. And they would see their dad, of course. But I didn't raise them. I just, you know, I knew them. I have two sons myself from my marriage, my previous marriage. And
how were the boys' relationship to the mother, to their biological mother?
All perfect. I mean, very attentive to mother, but not to father.
So something interesting, we talked for a very short time, and you told me something interesting. When Brian was first detained and questioned, he did a whole media tour, and he basically said, look, I'm not leaving the Bahamas till I find my wife, Lynette. I'm staying here. And the next thing you know, he's on a plane to Sacramento to see his terminally ill mother, which was what it was reported to be. You say that Brian's mother is alive and well. She's not terminally ill. What is the situation with Brian's mother?
Brian's mother has a kidney issue, but she's, you know, she's stable and takes her medication and stuff, and everything seems to be fine with Rita. And Jennifer still sees her mom, And I'm sure Bruce still sees his mom. Brian took her sailing on a boat, and Jennifer and her husband too. And I've got all kinds of pictures from the from him sailing. I just don't have them in front of me right now.
That's okay. You'll send them to us, and the COE is going to put that into our Patreon's page. Everyone out there, you're more than welcome to join up there. And if you appreciate the content, please hit like and subscribe. But Donna, when you were following the news after your own sister, I think it was, called you. So when you heard that Brian's rushing back to Sacramento because his mother is terminally ill, you knew that that was not true. What did you think at that point? I mean, Donna, you had to know that she was not terminally ill, right?
Yeah. Yes, I knew. I could not even imagine him leaving after he sat there and said that he was going to try and find Lynette because he loves Lynette. Da 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 da. That's a bunch of crap. Irritates me a lot. It just, when he left to go to Sacramento to see his terminally ill mother, he made it up. It was not true. He just did it to leave the Bahamas and make an excuse that he had to do that instead of finding his wife. So,
and Donna, and yes. So he was married. We established he was married twice previously, and those two wives went by the wayside. Was it an issue? Was there, as far as you know, was there physical abuse in those first two marriages toward the wives?
The first one didn't work out because of her religion. He is, you know, he's not religious. He doesn't believe in God or anything. So that marriage did not work out. But the second marriage was the one that he treated her badly. So she had to get a... what do you call it?
Restraining order.
She got a restraining order against him because he told her, if you don't do what I want you to do and not be badmouth me, there's going to be an accident. Okay, which means what? Well, she got a restraining order immediately after that because she didn't want him around because he was capable of harming her.
So he had threatened an accident to at least one of his, a quote unquote accident, meaning he would get rid of them, essentially. He had threatened that to at least one of the two first wives?
That I know, yeah. Beth, the second wife that has Rosie as a daughter. His daughter, Rosie.
Now, someone asked, yes, I thought at one point he was also accused of assaulting Rosie, but I know you said it was the first marriage, so I'm not sure, but, you know, we can go back and look into that. Now, you told me a very fascinating story about Hawaii around 1985, I want to say.
85, 86.
Share that? Yeah, please share that story. It's Brian and Bruce are in Hawaii, and what happens?
Brian and Bruce went to Hawaii to live, and that was in the 80s, the middle 80s, 86 or something like, or 85. They were over there, and we knew it, and we had bought a new home and everything, so it was very strange that we used to talk about it a little bit, me and George. What's Brian doing over there, and Bruce living on the beach in Hawaii? I mean, that just sounds really wonderful. Anyway, so Brian, there was a knock at the door, so I answered it, and it was Brian, and I was totally in shock of him even coming there. And because he was just too strange and just too, I don't know, I didn't want to be around him. So He came in, but he came in with really long hair and a bandana around his head and a trench coat. And he and these like combat boots on and everything. He looked terrible. Bruce wasn't with him. So I'm sure Bruce went back to where, you know, his wherever he lived. And Brian said they kind of got in trouble. They got involved in a bad crowd of guys. Because when you're living on the beach, I've heard that that can happen because there are gangs that come and they bother people and sometimes they rob people. So Brian said that he was talking to his dad about being there in Hawaii. And then this is something I haven't told. I only told you, Joel, and that when he was talking to his father, he said they had some real problems. These people kept bothering him, and he was with some other people plus his brother, and then he said he had to have someone killed.
All right. We spend our whole show in the darkest corners of humanity, right? So let's talk about how you come back down after that. It's Mood at Mood.com. Federally legal, hemp-derived THC shipped discreetly right to your door. I'm talking no dispensary, no fluorescent lighting, and no awkward small talk. They've got gummies, flowers, edibles, and pre-rolls all sorted by the vibe that you're actually after, whether that's sleep, focus, a little euphoria, or let's just call it better evenings. The one people keep reaching for is the Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies, their best seller, for when your brain finally needs to stop replaying the timeline and just let you rest. You just head to mood.com, shop by mood, and pick your lane. Everything is backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, and first-time buyers get 20% off the entire order with code STS. That's mood.com, code STS. Listen, you survived the episode, you might as well sleep like it.
Wow. Yeah. So I just want to recap. This is going back to 1986, Hawaii. Brian's in a stage where he's walking around in a trench coat. He's living on the beach, which is weird for Hawaii to begin with. And he admits to you and George that he had to have someone killed. I assume that when George and you heard that, did you ask him, well, what do you mean? What do you mean you had to have someone killed?
Yeah, I did. And his dad was totally in shock. He says, you did what? And he goes, I don't want to go into the details. I don't want to talk. You know, I'm just telling you what happened. And I asked him too. I said, what in the world were you guys doing over there anyway on the beach? Just hanging out and getting in trouble? And he said, well, he did tell me he would not go back there and do that again. And I says, well, I hope not. You know, I said, I can't. I just was so livid, and he wouldn't discuss it. And he wouldn't say, you know, anything about everything about it. But that's what
did he say it in sort of a macho way, like, oh, it had to be done. I killed someone. Was he nervous? Was he panicked? What was his demeanor at the time?
He was straightforward, not nervous, nothing. And he told his dad, and I don't know why he would tell us or tell his dad. I'm sure he wouldn't tell his mom and his, you know, anything about it. So I don't know. I just think it's something that, you know, I've had this in the back of my mind ever since this has happened. I had it on the back of my mind all the time that I wish I could tell someone, you know. And then I was able to tell you. And so you're the only one that knows.
Well, I appreciate you telling me. Now our audience knows. But I have to ask you, Do you feel like you haven't done it yet, but do you feel like you need to call law enforcement? Maybe you're in the Sacramento area, correct? You're in that area?
No,
oh, no, you're in Oregon. You're in Oregon.
Yeah.
And have you considered calling authorities in Oregon?
No, I haven't.
Do you think that maybe you should and let them know this story?
I don't know. It nobody his dad didn't do anything about it then, and I didn't have any idea of what to do, so I don't know.
And well, I'll talk to you about that offline, and hopefully we can help you, and I can put you in touch with some law enforcement officers who are going to know a lot better than me how to handle this. But if you're just joining us, this is Brian Hooker's mother, a stepmother, excuse me, Donna Hooker. And Donna Hooker reached out to me while my family and I were in Canada last week with a one-line email saying that Brian is lying about everything. And we just talked today, just a short time ago, and she agreed to come on. And I have to underscore, I asked Donna several times. I said, are you sure you want to come on? You sure you want to do this? And she said, yes. And I think you could see that she's trying to release some stuff. She lost her husband, who is Brian's biological father, 7 months ago. The man in the middle there, may he rest in peace, George Hooker. In the interim, neither Brian, his brother Bruce, or his sister Jen, who are you're looking at there, Jen did, but Bruce and Brian did not reach out to send their condolences or well wishes to Donna on the passing of their own biological father. But so, Donna, with the revelation that Brian admits to you that he had killed someone in Hawaii in 1986, I know you didn't go to law enforcement and you've been trying to deal with this. Were you ever interviewed by the Coast Guard or Bahamian authorities in relation to the ongoing investigation now?
No, they haven't reached out to me.
Would you like them to reach out to you? Do you feel like this is something that, you know, you can add context to their investigation?
Yeah, it would be nice. I know they reach out to Darlene, Lynette's mom, and try and update her on what's going on, and Carly. And I don't know. I just feel like, being that I was married to his dad, and I know him, and he lived with us and since he was a teenager, what I need to know is I hope the Coast Guard, like I said, get their ducks in a row so that they can go get him and put him in jail. Yeah, that's how I feel.
You heard it here. Donna Hooker says they need to go get Brian Hooker and put him in jail. So, Donna, unequivocally, you have no doubt that he murdered, in your opinion, he murdered Lynette Hooker.
He did. He did. I know his temper. And I felt for Lynette of all the abuse that she took. And she was a really very sweet, sweet lady. And he was a total, I don't want to say, jerk.
Tell us about Lynette. When did you first meet Lynette?
I met her in 2008 when George had his heart transplant. I'm not sure when Brian got married. I don't remember. I have no idea. He got married, didn't tell us about it. And he married Lynette. And so I don't, you know, he didn't bring, well, he brought her a couple times to Placerville when we lived there because we built a home there. But not very much. He kind of kept to himself. And then, of course, Jennifer, she very close to Brian. So, and Lynette, basically. So I can't understand if she doesn't realize what happened, but I don't care if he is her brother. He's not a very good person. So, but Lynette's a very sweet, 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 sweet lady.
Don, I just want to go back to this because we're going to get comments like this. Someone here says, Martina, who's in the chat, very nice. But she says in 1986, Brian was about 19 or so. I don't think he was in any position to have someone killed. This is just hubris. Just tell us a little bit, because people are going to have questions about that. So, again, he comes and he tells you, and the COE is right about this. There's a distinction. He didn't say I murdered someone. He said I had to have someone killed. Is that correct?
Yeah. He didn't say he killed a person. He said he had to have someone killed.
And give us as much detail or context from that conversation, because it must obviously bother you all these years. What else can you tell us about that moment in time?
Well, when he came in, you know, he looked like a, I don't know, he looked like a drug dealer is what he looked like, something like that. It was horrible. And his dad was kind of in shock over it. So he asked him, where have you been? Were you in Hawaii? Have you just got back or what? I knew that you and Bruce went to Hawaii, but did you, you know, live on the beach? And oh, he was just so proud of how he looked. He was just so proud of living on the beach and being a bum. Yeah, he and his brother. And he was just, I don't know why he told us that. I don't understand why he even said anything about it, which would have been great if he didn't. But he said that he ran into some bad people, and they were guys. Antagonizing them and just being, you know, just rowdy and bothering Brian and Bruce. And they were involved with some people too. So that's what he said. He said, yeah, he said I had to have someone killed.
And do we know where in Hawaii this was? Do we know where in Hawaii?
I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was the big island, you know, because we do have problems there too. So, well, I've been over there several times myself, but I didn't live on the beach. That was terrible.
Now, is that something that George ever brought up with you again? Did he ever, you know, maybe years later say, you know, I still can't believe my son told me that one time that he had to have someone killed? Did that ever come up again?
Yes, it was brought up. And not a lot, but it was. And he still couldn't believe what he said, what he told him. And I said, I can't either. I don't understand it. But, you know, that's back a long time ago. And George didn't do any, you know, he didn't do anything about it. He didn't even, you know, he didn't call anybody or the police or anything. But, you know, we kind of just didn't want him around anymore. And he wasn't around for a long time.
Do you feel nervous discussing this now? You tell me you think Brian is still stateside. So number one, do you feel nervous? Mm-hmm. Do you think he's in the States?
Yes. I don't believe he would leave. I heard that, I didn't know this, but when I heard that his brother had a cabin somewhere off grid, because Brian's always wanted to live off grid. He doesn't like people, society or anything. So I'm just wondering if he's there. And And that would be in the hills, still in the Sacramento area, Folsom, California. Jennifer lives in Rockland. And I'm sure she sees them all of the time. She sees Bruce all the time. She can get a hold of Bruce. She can get a hold of Brian. I've always had to go through her to try and get a hold of any of them.
So what do you think it would, what do you think it would take for Jen or Bruce to come forward if they have information about Brian to maybe implicate him? What if he shared with Jen, hey, I did this, I murdered Lynette. Would Jen come forward?
No.
How come?
She's that way. She's not real outgoing person. She's a nurse. I've tried to get a hold of her, and she's on Facebook. And I think George's sister had talked to her also, but not about this. I asked his sister if she's in touch with Jennifer, and she had been in touch with Jennifer on Facebook. And I said, well, what do you think about all of this? And she goes, well, I didn't know Brian that well. I don't know. Okay. Well, I told her that I totally knew Brian and I knew what he has done. And she says, well, you know, I guess they'll find out. So I can't.
Donna, let me ask you a difficult question. There's a comment here that says Donna comes across as very authentic. I'm trying to pull it right here. Donna comes across as very authentic, but there'll be people who will say maybe Donna didn't like Brian and she's just making this up. What do you say to those people?
I just tell them that I'm telling the truth. And I know Brian. I've known him since he was younger than 19 years old. He lived with us. And if that's what they want to think, it's their prerogative. But they're wrong.
I tell you, I've interviewed probably 1,000 plus people in my life, if not more. And I'm believing every word. So maybe, I consider myself a decent read of people. Here's Britt. I believe Donna. 100% Melissa Navone. I believe her. And Melissa says we've got to get in touch with authorities, which I will talk to Don about. There's a bunch more I need to get through. This is one of them. But real quick, so you said if he's around, you think he would be in the mountains or the hills of Folsom, California?
Up in the northern, probably Bruce has his cabin somewhere in the northern forested, probably area somewhere. I don't know where that would be. That's where he would. I'm not sure. I don't know where that would be unless it's up in the Placerville area, which is very woodsy, and we used to live up there. I'm not sure where it would be. I don't know.
Again, if you're just joining us, this is an interview live with Donna Hooker, Brian Hooker's stepmother. She's known him since he was at least 19 years of age. She says around that time, he confessed to having to have someone killed in Hawaii. She believes he is 100% guilty in the murder of Lynette Hooker, and says that everything he's been saying up to this point is a complete lie, including the fact that his mother is terminally ill. Donna knows the mother, Rita, and Rita is stable and in decent condition, but that's what he used to get out of the Bahamas after saying he was going to do everything in his power to find her. Racer Girl says, if Brian Hooker told his sister what actually happened, there's no way she'll come forward. Seems like the relationship is strong. She did go to the island and fly him out. How strong is their relationship? And then I want to get to this Marine photo in a moment. But how strong is the relationship between Jen and Brian?
It is the relationship between them is like they tell each other everything. Brian has stayed with them or lived with them for a little while, too, because, you know, Brian was never he wasn't working back then and he was just bumming around. And he's been there since he got fired from AT&T. He also has been to see Jennifer and Brett, his her husband. They're close. They're really, really close. And that's the only way I took, like I said, the only way I could ever get a hold of Brian was through Jennifer. And then he wouldn't get back to us at all. Because George would always wonder where his sons are. Where's Bruce? Where's Brian? How come I never hear from him? And I get on and I get a hold of Jennifer and I'll get the message to him. Duh. You know, I mean, golly, this is ridiculous.
I'm so sorry with everything you're going through. A big part of Brian's life is the Marines. You know, once a Marine, always a Marine. How did he end up a Marine? I think George, your husband who passed away, and his biological father sort of laid down the law and said, you're going to be a Marine. When did this happen and how did it all play out?
It was in the 80s before we had moved into our new house. We were on the river. We lived on the river. And George was just fed up with Brian's, you know, all of his never working and just kind of messing around and just get, you know, basically getting into trouble and stuff. So he said he called a recruiter. And the guy came out to our house and talked to Brian about it. And Brian signed up. And George was very happy.
and how long was he in the Marines for? And what was his, you know, what was his service record like?
Well,
a good Marine.
You know, I don't know. I really don't know about that. I don't. I know that he went in. Then he had an issue with his foot and his ankle. So he had to, I don't know what they do. They get out of the Marines or he had to have his foot worked on and everything to so that he can go back into, you know, into the Marines. So he was in, then he was out with his foot and then he's back in. And, he was in there for at least his 4 years.
4 years. But it wasn't, as far as you know, where there was no dishonorable discharge, maybe a medical discharge.
Yeah. Yeah. He was good in the Marines.
I'm sorry. We have a little bit of a delay, so I apologize. Let's just go back. Can you kind of just describe his personality over the years? I mean, is there a general way to explain who he is, his temperament? Like when you would see him, was he the kind of guy to give you a hug and a kiss? What was his personality? What is his personality?
Yeah, back then in the 80s, when he you know, when he lived with us, he had his own room and everything, and he would stay in his room all the time. He wouldn't come out very much except for to eat. He would read. He read book after book. He loved to read. He was intelligent. He was very, very intelligent, very smart, and he was quiet. And for a long time, he would just stay in his room and not do much of anything. And so when he, after that part where George and I bought a house and we moved and everything, and when he did come over, he would, you know, he would be nice. I mean, he would... this was after that fiasco. And he'd be nice, and he was pleasant. And I was a manicurist when I worked, and in my school, at my school in Sacramento, my cosmetology school, he would come and visit me there. He would come and see me. So, you know, I don't know, at lunchtime, he'd just come and see me. And he wouldn't, you know, he was quiet, and I kept, you know, I would probably do most of the talking and asking him what's going on and everything. He wasn't working still. And, you know, not married yet or anything like that. So he was, you know, he would just come and see me, and it was fine. You know, I just basically, I think what I did was I just tolerated him, because I can't, you know, it's hard to explain. He was very, sneaky, and what he never really showed a lot of emotion about anything that he had done, like when he got in trouble and they had to go to jail because he stole some stuff. And he just goes with the flow. He's like, okay, whatever, you know, it's kind of like that, whatever.
Did he have trouble keeping jobs? Did he bounce around from job to job?
To be honest with you, I never knew he worked. I didn't know he had a job anywhere when he was, you know, growing up. He never really did anything. Both my boys knew Bruce and Brian, and Brian didn't fit in with anyone. He was a loner. So they didn't get to really, you know, Bruce, they played football together and all that kind of stuff. But not Brian. Brian didn't do any of that kind of thing.
Personality wise, like Bruce and Brian sound somewhat similar. How are they similar, Bruce and Brian, and how are they different?
Well, now Bruce, he never really kept a job that well. He would not really hang out with Brian, but they would get together, but they wouldn't hang out together. Bruce lived with us and his girlfriend for a while. And, he was doing construction work because he helped his dad with our house and everything that we built. Good person though. You know, Bruce was good. He was just happy go lucky guy, you know. I liked him. I would have liked to have, you know, had him around more, but something there happened and I'm not sure what. But anyway, and Brian was Bruce really wasn't the quiet type. Bruce liked to go and do things and go out with have his girlfriend and go out and da-da-da-da and just be, you know, just do normal things. But Brian, on the other hand, he was very, very subdued and very quiet. He just kind of let things flow around him, whatever, you know. Whatever happens.
In 2024, Lynette sent some text messages to her friends, basically saying she was done with the marriage. Things were, you know, not going well. She wanted out. I mean, how do you describe the relationship? Was that fairly, was that the case basically from the beginning, where there were a lot of problems, where she was not happy? And you look at her, beautiful woman, by all accounts, a phenomenal athlete, great mother, all these things. But was she unhappy in this marriage from the get-go?
Probably not from the get-go, when they first got married, because he, you know, they met at work. But as it progressed And she became, you know, he was just too overbearing. She couldn't handle it, you know. She just, his temper and everything. And then when he got physical with her, that really probably, you know, that would do it for me too. But being physical with a woman is not right. Anyway, my theory on her wanting to leave, which she has left before, but went back. But this time when she told him on the boat, she told her mom, you know, her mom knows all of that too, but she, when she told him that, she told him, and he wasn't happy about it. And my theory on it is when she told him that she was going to leave and everything, he threatened her. Like if you leave me, da da da, you know. She had the money. He had no money. He blew through his 401k from work, his work. And they did sell the house. So, but Lynette has a lot of money. And Brian didn't want the money to go. She bought the sailboat. She bought their food. She did. It was her money. He didn't have any money. He still doesn't have any money.
You told, which is maybe why he likes living off grid, but you told me something heartbreaking. You said, in a way, you're glad that George, your husband for 40 years, and Brian's father is not here to see this. He passed away 7 months ago. What do you think this would do to him to watch this?
Oh, God. It would be so devastating to him. Because he was sick for a long time. He finally had, you know, he had the strokes, but he had cancer. And we didn't know he had it. And so it probably would have really put a strain on him really bad. It's like how I feel, because he grew up with us, basically. You know what I mean? In the 1980s, and I mean, he just, his kids and George being a grandpa and all that. It's very sad. It's very sad that this happened and that George would be heartbroken, totally heartbroken. Be terrible on him.
You work so hard to raise your children the right way, and then this going on. Blackadoor, our friend from Ireland, poor Donna, going through so much. Have you had the opportunity to speak, and we'll wind up in just a moment and get some final thoughts here. If you are just joining us, this is Donna Hooker, Brian Hooker's stepmother, who says she has no doubt that Brian Hooker murdered Lynette Hooker in the Bahamas, and that he's been lying about absolutely everything, to a degree, putting her own safety at risk here. Have you spoken to Lynette's mother, Darlene, or her daughter, Carly, at all? Have you had an opportunity to speak to either of them?
No, I haven't spoken with them at all. I when I see them up there, they're heartbroken, and they know, and they feel exactly how I feel. That Brian did kill her she was on that boat. She went back to the sailboat. They went back. And when those lights were flashing, if you saw that, there was a couple of witnesses. They saw the flashing and stuff. So he got his camera out and filmed it. That was her probably trying to get somebody's attention, because he was being abusive to her then. trying to, you know, she was probably trying to save her life.
Do you think, I know this is just speculation, but do you think that he murdered her on that boat and then disposed of the body? What do you think happened?
Well, first of all, the thing is about choking. That's what he does. That's what he likes to do, choke. So he probably choked her. And she probably probably fought, you know, like she would fight with him. She wouldn't just sit there and let him hit her or whatever. She would fight back. So she probably passed out. He choked her. She probably passed out. And she was dead on the boat. And there is an anchor missing from the boat. And something, couple of others, that weight belts of hers, they're missing. So from what I think happened is, and I know it's probably a terrible thing, but I think what he did is weighted her down and put her in a couple hundred feet of water. She wouldn't be there now. She'd be gone with all of the predators, the sharks and the water and the, you know, all that stuff. I doubt if they'll find her. I think he weighted her down. He went down. Now, they filled up their oxygen tanks before this happened. They were full. And from what I understand from, I can't remember who, might have been the Coast Guard, I'm not sure. But Brian's tank was not full when they got it. So he could have weighted her down, been under the water, dove under the water, right? Used part of his oxygen, of course, and weighted her down. Oh, horrible to think that, isn't it? But what else would he do with her? Where is she? Nobody can find her. Where is she? She's under the water, but she's not Lynette anymore down there. She's been there for what, 95 days or something? 90 days, something like that. There won't be anything left of her. And I think it's
more than that. When you were describing him choking her, and that's your speculation, but I could see that you were really like, that's something that really hit home for you. I could see that. Was choking something that Brian was sort of known to do?
Yeah, especially when he was drinking too. Especially when he was drinking, his temper flared up worse, and she knew it. She didn't want any more part of it. She'd had enough. And I don't know why the choking. I don't know why he has that. He choked her till she passed out before. So.
And how often was he drinking? And obviously he was not a good drunk, but how often would he drink, and what would happen when he did drink?
They drink together, you know, and he drank a lot. And he would also smoke weed at the same time. And when he was here in that picture that I showed you with his dad, he drank a 6.5 pack of beer while he was just sitting here. And he would go out every probably 3, 4, 5 minutes, he'd go outside and smoke weed and then come back. He did that the whole time that he was here. He hardly ever talked to his dad. He was so out of it. And Jennifer's sitting there, you know, I don't know. I'm just devastated over this whole situation. And I don't want what I've been doing, because I'm alone now. My son comes to see me a couple times a month because he has to still work. But he's going to move in with me. So, but anyway, at night, I'm just I'm just so worried. Every time I hear something, I'm just like, oh, you know, if he shows up at my house now, I'll just have to call, please. I won't answer the door.
No, if he shows up, Donna, you need to call the police. Do not answer, and you need to call the police. We'll talk offline here. Couple of quick things. When is the last time you saw, with your own eyes, you saw Brian Hooker? And again, if you're just joining, she thinks that Brian might be hiding in the mountains and woods of Folsom, California, where, ironically, the famous prison is. When's the last time you saw Brian? And what, if any, message, if you could talk directly to him right now, what would you say to him?
I would look him straight in the eye and I would say, Brian, did you kill her? Did you kill Lynette? Were you in a rage? Were you drinking? What's going on? You need to tell the truth. Darlene and Carly need to know. We all need to know what happened to her. We need to know. It's something that, you know, it's how you feel inside that, you know the truth. I know what happened. I just, like Carly and Darlene and everybody, we know that he did what he did. He killed her on the boat. And they just want closure. I do too. I want to know. I want to know what evidence and that the Coast Guard has right now on that they've gotten from the boat and the dinghy. I wish they would hurry. You know what I mean? Oh, it's hard. It just rips you apart. So,
when's the last time you saw him?
I saw him in that picture with his dad and his sister. That's the last time. And that was his second stroke. And that was in April 22.
Of what year?
April 2022.
Oh, April 2022. I got you. Okay, April of 2022. Okay.
That was the second. This is the second stroke. And he was he knew. See, the third stroke, he couldn't talk. And cognitive, I took care of him because I didn't want him to go anywhere else. He's going to stay home. So, anyway, yeah. That's the last time. I haven't heard a word from him. Jennifer never answers me anymore either. So I'm devastated. And I have all this on my mind. And I had to tell somebody. So, and I've watched your program and I like you. And I like your program a lot. It's very informative. And so the last time I watched is when you were talking about Brian and what's going on with these other guys, lawyers, and I don't know who else they were, but it was very interesting to me.
Listen, I'm so sorry we had to meet under these circumstances. Is there anything off the top of your mind that we as a community can do for you?
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm okay. I need to go see my doctor because I've got a lot of stress and I hope I'm okay type thing. You know what I mean? And I'm okay. I'll be okay. I have two sons, one in South Dakota and one in Eugene, Oregon, which is a 3-hour drive for him to come see me, but he has to work. So he's going to retire next year. And then he's going to move in with me. And he knows Brian. He was in shock when he saw what was going on. My other son was just, he can't understand it. He knows Brian. They think Brian is so different from everybody. And so he lied to his dad about retiring, he had talked to his dad, gosh, when he probably got fired from AT&T, but he called his dad and told him that he had retired and that he's going to live on a sailboat. Brian didn't know anything about a sailboat. He didn't even know how to sail. My husband was a sailor. Okay. He was trying to tell Brian, you know, you do this, it's a lot of responsibility. You need to know da, 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 you know? And so Brian had never sailed before, ever. And so he wanted to do it, live on a sailboat, be away from people, you know? Yeah. So.
Well, listen, you just got a big new family at STS. I will make sure to check in on you, Don. I appreciate you reaching out. Please stay on for just a minute so I can thank you offline. Okay. I know people will write an email, but come in the chat for other shows. We're a big community here. And, you know, maybe that will help occupy some of your time. But
I don't have a lot. I'm an artist. I'm a wildlife artist. And I can't get myself to paint. I've got everything. I paint. I've done shows. It was a great life with George. And now it just seems like my whole life has changed. And it's just hard. And I just needed to talk to you about everything. I just felt like, I don't know. I just felt like after I watched a couple of your shows, I really thought that maybe I should reach out to you. So I did. Listen, and I'm glad.
I really appreciate it that you did that. And you have my number. You can call me anytime. We'll talk for a couple minutes offline right now. And I'm going to make sure to talk to some guys in law enforcement to try to help you. And if anyone comes to your door, you call the police before you do anything else. Okay.
Yeah. If he sees this show, I don't know. I don't want him to come here.
Yeah. You just hang tight. I'm going to talk to you off camera. For everyone at STS, just so you know, real quick, we are in the middle of this studio build, so it's going to be a little bumpy for the next week or so. Tomorrow, we are following up on a Dan Markell story. Very interesting. The great Tim Jansen is in Massachusetts and is offered to go to opening statements for Lindsey Clancy, which could happen Thursday. And Tim will be our reporter. We're not going to cover the whole trial, but we'll cover opening statements with Tim there. And then Thursday night, we're looking to do a recap of David, who has a preliminary hearing this week. And then Friday, Carm is in the Holy Land for 3 months. So we're going to do an 11 a.m. show. And Donnie, you have to meet my mom, Carm. She's my co-host. She's my mother.
Yeah.
She's turning 87. I'll have to introduce you to her. Introduce you guys. But thank you all for being here. Hit the like and subscribe button. The COE is going to put a bunch of these photos and some other documents show we aired last night into the Patreon page. And we will see you tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Tim Jansen will be here to talk to Markell's, along with Professor Joe Pituto and at least one other. And then, whenever Lindsey Clancy opening statements are, flag us, survivingthesurvivor@gmail.com. Love you, America. Love you, Oregon. Love you, Bahamas. And let's get justice here for Lynette Hooker. And Donna, please stay on for one moment.